What's going on, everybody? We're back with the Real Bodybuilding Podcast, and I'm here with one of the greatest bodybuilders ever to grace the stage, Dennis Wolf. How are you, sir?
What? Thank you very much, sir. Thanks for having me, and I'm doing well. Just done with my third physiotherapy session this week, so everything is going well. I feel really good. I'm in the sixth week post-surgery, so everything is just cool.
Okay. Let's get into that. Actually, you know what? I was going to wait, but since you brought it up, let's talk about that. I don't know exactly what happened, because I know you had a major injury a few years back. I don't know exactly what it was and where you've gone from there. So maybe you want to kind of tell me what happened to kind of put your career to a halt?
Yeah, well, that was a pretty nasty time, I would say, you know, looking back on the time. It happened in 2016, so it was pretty weird feeling during the workouts. So my left side didn't work pretty well, so I didn't get the connection to the muscles as I used to, you know. And I started worrying about, and you know, didn't know what to do, and I went to a lot of physiotherapists, and they figured, oh, it's not the shoulder, it's probably the neck. So I went to a doctor. And, you know, of course, I did all the MRIs, and they figured that, my cervical spine is pretty much damaged.
Wow.
So from C4 on, going over C5, C6, and C7. So that was, I mean, it was a huge thing for me, you know. I was right away on thinking, you know, that's going to be the end of my career. But trying to, you know, stay focused on the issue, stay focused on the, on the work I have to do.
Yeah.
You know? And so then,
was it something that you gradually, like, did you feel the muscles slowly start to atrophy, or was it something abrupt that all of a sudden you just couldn't feel one side of your body?
You know, I couldn't feel, that my one part of my body, my, left side, when I was doing like rows or something like this, it was not connecting. So like, for example, if you pull, right, so everything goes straight, normal, you feel everything.
Yeah.
But the left side was going like,
oh, okay.
You know, to the side, no connection, nor contraction to the muscle at all.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I started like worrying, and I was in panic, honestly.
was it painful, or did you just notice that the feeling was different?
That was different feeling. There's no pain, no nothing.
Pain.
I didn't even feel it, that something is, you know, on my neck, some issue or something like that, until they told me.
And how many weeks was it? Like, how many weeks did you let it go before you finally went and saw somebody?
I think a couple of weeks, like 2-3 weeks. I was like, you know, kind of thinking, because I had this issue before, like 4 or 5 months before I was in prep.
Yeah.
And I felt it once, and I was like, oh, that's some kind of weird stuff, you know, I'm feeling during the workout. And a week later, it was gone. So I, you know, it was like something crazy. Maybe I thought like, oh, maybe it was just something from a huge workout, like the day before or something, you know, that the muscles were too tired or something, and when it went away. But then like 5 months later, that was just ongoing.
So when you went to the doctor, they told you, they looked into your spine. What was the diagnosis? What was the first thing they said to you?
So they said, there's some parts of my bone were, you know, loose.
Okay.
So then broke off a little bit. So that's what I said. That's what they showed me on the MRI pictures.
Yeah.
I saw that, but you know, unschooled eye, you know, don't recognize anything on it, right?
Yeah,
so they
just
tell you, and then like try to look into it, like, oh, okay, yeah, might be, yeah, might be not, you know, because you don't see shit. So but then he said, but look, was a good doctor. He said, look, we have to do that. We need to fuse it. I had, he told me he had a SWAT team member.
Yeah.
He did the same surgery on him. And he told me he's still on it. He's still, you know, bumping the doors or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
So he's doing his job normally, regularly, without any issues. And, you know, it was, for me, it was a good sign, you know, that he is, you know, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So that's why I went under the knife. Yeah.
So when he initially told you, and he told you that this other guy that he worked on was fine, were you worried at all about your career, or were you just feeling like, okay, it's a small speed bump and then I'm going to get back to work?
You know, you're always worrying about your career a little bit because, you know, small injuries you're familiar with, right? So if you just have a minor problems, you know, during workout, you know how it is.
Yeah.
You always injure yourself a little bit, you know, then you can just, you know, not train for a whole week or things like this. That's easy. But something like that, you know, this is your spine, it's a cervical spine. That's a big deal. And I was worried about everything. But at the same time, I tried to, kind of stay cool, you know, just to focus on everything, not just to, you know, to focus on my mental standpoint at the time, you know, because I thought if I will go more in this direction, I'll be just, you know, just sad every day and just, you know, don't see any goals anymore for me, you know. That was just like in a whole career, you set your goal and you try to achieve it. And I was focusing on that the same way, kind of, you know, just step by step, doing the surgery, you know, the recovering, and then let's see what I'm able to do. Am I back to do a hard work again in the gym or not? So at the end, it was not the case.
So you were worried, but you're trying to keep a positive attitude about it.
Yes.
So how long was it before you had surgery from the time you found out?
I think it was really fast. When I find out that was the cervical spine, I said right away, let's do it. So I think 3 weeks later.
So what, how long was the recovery? Obviously the surgery went okay, but how long was the recovery from that?
Surprisingly, it was pretty fast. The recovery was good. I had not, had not to do any physical therapy.
Okay.
You know, it's just cervical spine. So, I mean, what do you want to do? Just stretch your neck? Right. And I think after 3 months, I had a green light to start lifting weights. And then I start from there. But, you know, I felt already, you know, it's just not the same anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
But try to tell myself, hey, this is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. You know, you had a really hard surgery. You know, this is very major injury. So, but it kept going this way. It didn't better, you know. It was not getting better, you know, week by week. And then like, and then at some time I thought like, damn, is it really it? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I was, how much size had you lost in the 3 months period? Like what was your weight when you finally got back to training versus your weight before the surgery?
Well, I was, you know, the problem started right after my season of competing.
Yeah.
So it was like I had a winter behind me, and then in the beginning of 2016, I was not that big because, you know, I mostly did some time off.
Yep.
And I went down to 275, probably 280. And then did the surgery. I went down to 60 probably.
Okay.
Right. So then that was, I think if I would be like around 300-310, it would not be that huge issue, you know, losing weight and then meet up again. But I'm a, I have a super fast metabolism. So when I stop eating, I lose everything, you know, and quickly, that was the case. You know, if you're not focused on doing your workouts, you know, losing using your energy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So and it was for me impossible just to, you know, to sit home and eat. I'm not that big eater, you know. Yeah. If I'm not hungry, if I'm not doing anything actively, you know. So I'm not eating. So I went down to 260.
So you're down to 260, which is probably, that's probably the lightest you've been in a long time, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So when you get back to it and you're not feeling it, you keep pushing. How long does it finally take you? Do you ever get back to that feeling of being Dennis Wolf, or did it never really kind of come back?
No.
Never came back after that, eh?
Even if I start preparing for my comeback,
yeah,
it was not the same feeling. It was like, I was like, okay, I have to do that because I promised myself, promised my fans, and there was never like, you know, setting a step back. So I just wanted to push through it and see what is possible. I would say if I wait another year, I'm probably never gonna make a comeback. But I wanted to do that and just, you know, went in it.
How old were you at that time? How old were you in 2016, 2017, what was your age around that time?
Wait, I'm 42, so.
So 40.
38, yeah.
38, 39. Because I wonder how much age has to do with that. Because, you know, I had a tricep tear, it'd be 2 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And after my surgery, I felt the same thing that you felt. Like I lost a little bit of weight. And when I tried to get back, it never really came back to the same person I was before the surgery. So I don't know, obviously tricep is different than a neck, but it's almost like once you stop, it's hard to come back to your old.
Really hard. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know, all this, I mean, mindset is everything, you know, right? So, but you still cannot do that, right? It's not like, oh, just switch your mindset and let's go. No, yeah. It doesn't work that way. Somehow, yeah. I don't know. I mean, before that, it was easy to do everything. Like, you know, overcome any struggle in your life or so, you know, it helped a lot. But this is just something else, you know, it's just.
But I wonder if it is the mindset, because I don't know. I feel like our mindsets being professional bodybuilders are probably similar in that no matter what comes your way, you still keep training, you still keep eating, you still keep doing your thing. I almost feel like this is physical. Like maybe the combination of the surgery plus the time off plus the age in my situation anyway. And I feel like you're kind of saying the same thing, is it's hard to stop for 3 or 4 months. And then when you're 40 years old, almost bring it back to what you were like when you were 30, because it's almost like the nutrients, like you're eating and you're trying to eat the same food, but you're not getting the same pump. Mm. Your muscle doesn't retain the same fullness it retained when you were 30. So it almost becomes, and then your mind starts playing tricks on you.
Oh yeah.
Cause you're trying. So yes. were you having that kind of, as you were trying to come back, were you, that self-doubt was always there, like week after week? Always.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that just overpowers everything, you know, what was different or opposite before things like this, you know, if you're like pushing yourself, you know, you're like competing all the time and, you know, and you're not kind of, you know, doubting yourself, you know, not or at least not that much, you know, when you're injured. So, yeah.
So how long was it after the 3 months when you got back to work? When did you compete next?
I competed in 2018 at the Arnold Classic, both of it, Arnold Classic in Ohio,
yeah,
and in Australia.
So you gave yourself a good amount of time then to make a comeback.
Yes, yeah, probably a whole year for prep, but it was, you know, it was not feeling like it was a whole year. It felt like I had 3 months to go, you know,
yeah.
Because I wasn't happy. I wasn't happy at all, you know. Everything what I did, it just started with your food, you know. I couldn't eat that much, everything, you know, because I think it just everything is just connects to one, like your training, your, you know, everything, you know, sure. Your food. And if it doesn't work well, nothing works, you know? So right. It's hard to contain everything, you know, like, you know, straight ahead and yeah. just doing that. But if you're kind of, you know, don't feel like, oh yeah, I'm at my best or I'm back where I was, it doesn't work that way.
It's amazing that you're saying this stuff, because you're kind of putting into words everything I've been feeling for the last year, because you're exactly right. It's like, there's a puzzle, and it's kind of what I tell people all the time, is bodybuilding is a puzzle. Cause people say, well, is training more important than diet? Is diet more important than training? Is steroids more? And I'm like, it's all piece of a puzzle. And if the puzzle doesn't fit together, then the whole thing doesn't work.
That's how I see it. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very, so when you were making your comeback and you started dieting for a show and you had already committed, did any part of the prep feel good? Did you feel good getting ready to go back on stage, or did you know you weren't your real Dennis Wolf?
Even if I felt like I'm not the same, mm-hmm. sometimes I feel great, you know. Sometimes I saw some light at the end of the tunnel, you know. So it's always like, oh, when I had a great workout, when I had a good week, you know, I filled up, you know, I had a appetite during a whole week, you know, I felt amazing. Yeah. But then it starts again. It was always like up and down, up and down. So I couldn't kind of outbalance it. So I stay the same way, you know, this, do all the same, but it always kind of kicked me back, you know. I was like,
yeah,
1 week great, 1 week like shit. So it was always like this. And then of course it just, you know, it keeps up on you, like, you know, you know, you should probably do that, or, you know, but I was never that guy, you know. If I said, okay, I want to do that, and I go through it.
So the last week before you got on stage, when you were getting on stage, did you know you weren't Dennis Wolf? You know, you kind of like were a little different.
Yes. Yeah, but that was painful, man.
Was painful. It?
Yeah.
And the reason I'm asking, I'm not trying to like kind of dwell on the point. The reason I'm asking is a lot of people know that I've considered trying to compete again, because I haven't been on stage since 2017. And
I know you're still in shape and everything, you know, still heavy and doing your stuff, but
some people think, well, it doesn't matter how you place, but I feel like you would understand what I mean. Cause if you're competitive once in your mind and you know how you used to look at a certain point, it's hard to not be competitive anymore. Like, it's hard to say, like when you got on stage to Arnold's, did you say to yourself, well, I don't care where I place, it doesn't matter, I'm just going to do this. You feel it, right?
You feel it. I mean, even if you know you're not going to be in the top three or top five or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, being like the last or second to last or whatever, it's so painful, because I never had this experience. You know, I finished once at the Olympia. I was out of top 16, but I knew I was out of shape and things like this. But this is not the same, you know.
Yeah.
I was lacking on everything, size, you know. Just the symmetry was not the same, you know, because of that, you know, one-sided problem, you know, the neck and everything. And then, you know, it's weird, because like over the years, if you know you're the guy who so many watching, you know, and then you're always the favorite to win any show, even at the Olympia, you know, always being the favorite to be in the top three or five, you know, and you always have a chance to win the show, you know.
Yeah.
And if you won the Arnold and all that shows, and coming back to this huge show and you know, placing last or second to last, it's very painful, very painful. But I understood, okay, this is probably the it. This is probably gonna be it. And then 2 weeks later was the Arnold in Australia. So I signed up already, everything. And I knew that that's going to be the same game, you know, but I still wanted to go, because, you know, people understand. And that's why I'm really proud of my fans and really like bodybuilding fans. If they understand, you know, what you're going through, I mean, not all of them, but a lot.
Yeah.
They accept that. They're not gonna you know, trash you because you're not the same anymore, because they understand. But I was disappointed at some of my friends, or like old friends, like, you know, not the best friends, but some people I knew for over 20 years. They, you know, when I went on stage there, I read some stuff on Facebook, you know, and they kind of, not putting me in a bad place, but all my friends and my family, like, for example, oh, you guys don't see that he is not at that level anymore. Why are you not telling him to stop or not going on stage? And if you read this and you understand that some people are just idiots, you know, just, you know, why you're attacking my family and my friends, right? Not myself. Just tell me that, hey, I don't feel like you should go on stage, right? That's it. But like putting all of my fans in the same position, like, oh, you guys didn't tell him, to drop out or to stop, you know?
It's funny. People make those comments as if we don't know.
Yeah,
you know, it's funny. It's crazy to me that people say things like that, and it's like they think we're blind and we can't see ourselves. Like we're harder on ourselves than anybody else.
Exactly.
Yes. So those people that make those comments is completely idiotic, because it's like you knew what you were doing and you know why you were doing it. That person should know that already.
Right. And of course, what is more painful? The people are all bodybuilders or have. I've been involved in this sport forever, and then commenting like that, it's like, wow.
Well, if it's somebody that's been in your position or understands the industry, then they should know better than that comment as well. Yeah. I mean, the difference between you and me is very, very drastic. Your career is definitely, so I can relate to what you're feeling, but it's gotta be much more for you because of where you've been. But I just want to touch on this one last thing and then we'll move on to another topic. But after the show, after all the dust had settled, after the Columbus, after Australia, after everything, and after you knew that was going to be it, were you happy with what you did? Were you happy that you stepped on stage one last time and kind of got that out of your system and just kind of said bye to everybody? Or was it something that you maybe wish you hadn't committed to doing?
Yes and no. It's like both. I felt like, okay, I've done it, and I figured out that I'm not the same anymore. I'm not at my best anymore. But in a other way, I would say if I would have done it, I would probably still kind of, we'll be planning to come back, you know. But this is now. It's just, I understand that even if I wanted to. 2 years later or 3 years later, I could do it, So that was a must for me, I had to do it just to figure out, this is just, it, or I still have it in me. And I'm really, really happy about that in one point. And like I said, another point is that, it's just kind of like being afraid of everything, of something, but just don't want to kind of get in front of it, right? So, but it's this just tells you, okay, you're done, but then you get to know, right?
So it's kind of like, let me see if I can summarize what you're saying. It's kind of like you want to know the truth, but then the truth sucks.
Exactly. Yes.
So you needed to do it for closure to be like, I put a stamp on it and that's it. But then at the same time, the stamp doesn't feel good.
Yeah. Either way, they will work for me, but I had to do it.
Yeah.
If I would say, okay, man, that was good, but I still have to invest my time for another 2 years and then maybe I can do another show and then, but I knew right away, there's no more investing, or investment of time. Needed to be better,
because
it couldn't work.
I'm looking at the trophies on the wall behind you, and I notice you have this 4 or 5 Olympias there. I looked at your stats really quick yesterday. You were in the top 6 at the Olympia like 5 times, I think.
I was competing at the Olympia 10 times. I was out of top 16 twice. And I was in the top 6 the rest of it. Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty remarkable. Did you ever feel, I remember when you first came, when you first turned pro, because it was, I think, a year before I turned pro. And I remember everybody thinking like, oh, this guy's going to beat Jay. This is the guy, right? And I remember for a while, it was a really hot, like a big topic. Like, well, let's see if Dennis can be. Do you ever feel like you beat Jay? Do you ever feel like you deserve to be in that spot? Or do you ever feel like there's a reason why you missed the mark? Do you think you could have been Mr. Olympia?
I think, yes, I could have been Mr. Olympia, but I think it just, didn't go as well for me as for other guys, maybe. But also, there's also the mindset. You know, I was more considered to win the Arnold Classic because I felt like this is possible for me.
Yeah.
And Mr. Olympia was kind of, man, this is Mr. Olympia. You know, I felt like, you know, I was, when I won the world championships, I was the best in the world, right? World champion.
Yeah.
It feels good. But being the best at the professional level, I think in my mind, I was not ready for it. And I think that's why I didn't win it. And I think I beat Jay many years. You know, my honest, I love Jay, you know, this is just, you know, he was my favorite bodybuilder before I turned pro, of course.
Yeah.
But I felt like 2007 and 2008, I beat him. You know, and of course, being at the Olympian, like in 2007, I felt like, damn, I really could win it. You know,
did you really? But that's kind of, it kind of is opposite of what you, so this is the thing. I find it fascinating. I talk all the time on this podcast about what you believe. And if you really believe it deep in your heart that it can happen. And if you don't truly, truly believe it, you're probably never going to get there. Yeah. So you're kind of alluded to that by saying like, you know, the Olympia was such a kind of a big deal that you couldn't grasp it.
Yeah.
Do you think, but at the same time you say you beat Jay. So it's a little bit confusing. Like,
yeah.
Okay. I guess we'll say it this way. You probably think your physique was better those years, but do you think you held yourself back from winning?
I think if you're, like I said, if you're not really like ready to win, you know, and you don't feel 100% comfortable to do it, you will never win it. And I think if there was just 1 or 2% in my mind was, you know, not 100% with me, you know, that I could win it, I think that was the case. Because if you doubt, if you still think, you know, I could win it, but there's something else, you know, something could happen. That's already it, you know, that's, you know, you're not focused on 100%. So you cannot go 100% for it.
What do you think it is? Like, how does that manifest itself? Like, what do you think it is that happens? Like, did you, maybe your conditioning wasn't as good. Maybe you're on stage, you're not as confident. Maybe like, what is it you think that showed that 1 or 2%?
I think this, I knew that, on stage, when I came out, like pre-judging, I looked like, damn, everyone was like, wow. You know,
I'm going to see if I can find it real quick. Sorry. Keep talking.
But then during the pre-judging, I kind of lost my condition. Like every comparison, I started looking smoother.
Okay. But
a couple of years were like that, and I knew it, you know. And I needed to figure something out so that is not happening on stage to me.
Oh, I see. So and you think So you think it was more of a conditioning preparation issue than it was confidence issue.
Yes, it was more like.
Do you know which one of these is 2007?
The first one. The
this is one. this is 2007.
Yes.
Yeah, you're big as a house here. look at your physique.
Yeah, it was insane, man.
I gotta ask you. I know we're going back to retirement, but I gotta ask you this: when you're sitting here now and you see this. How does that make you feel? Cause I know how I feel when I look at my old photos, but this is phenomenal. Like you're right. I mean, this could have been Mr. Olympia. So what is that?
Sometimes I just can't believe it. You know, sometimes like I look at my pictures and I'm like, wow, that was crazy, you know? And then at the same time, I think, but I worked for it, you know, I worked so hard for it. And then, you know, no vacations, nothing, just, you know, whole year work, you know, the family is involved, everything, you know, it's just, wow, it was a lot of work, but sometimes look at that, you know, I mean, crazy.
Does it suck walking around now, not being that guy?
Honestly, I feel a lot better not being that heavy, not having or not feeling so much pressure in your body, like, you know, feeling all this weight, or like watching the clock, oh, it's time to eat, and you're still not hungry, you know, things like this, I don't miss at all.
Yeah, yeah.
But like sometimes if you're in the gym, you know, I didn't train for 6 weeks now, but you know how it is, you know, if you have the pump and just, you feel like on the picture, but you know, then you look in the mirror like, oh damn, it's not the same anymore. And also this mindset, like we were talking the whole time about it. It's you know, I'm more relaxed, and sometimes I don't like it because if I'm relaxed, I cannot do the rest of, you know, any of my goals, you know, cannot finish them because, you know,
so you
to be this, you know, guy just waking up and they're just only having my goal in my mind, you know, nothing else.
So you miss that fire.
Yes.
And the regimen of having that fire. I know what you mean. Cause there's a, you know, a lot has changed for me, even though I haven't officially retired, I'm pretty much retired. There's like, you know, like you said, when you wake up and you got to eat and then you got to train and you got to eat and eat and eat. And it's like, and you got to stretch and you got to see it, and you have all these things, just, there's nothing else in your head except for this one thing. So you miss that like very focused, regimented feeling. And I tell people too, like when we train, people ask me, well, doesn't it suck to be 300 pounds walking around all the time? And I say, you know what? For 23 hours a day, it sucks. But for the 1 hour when I'm in the gym, it makes it all worth it. Right.
Right. But the only thing is, you know, what I don't like being, you know, being heavy forever is the age, because you cannot, you know, stay healthy with so much amount of mass. You know, if you're over 50 or, you know,
true.
You have to slim down a little bit, because for the heart, it's a lot of work. For the whole body, it's a lot of work. And then, you know, if you're already did for things like this, you know, I mean, we all know this is not fun sometimes, you know, lifting so much and then, you know, forcing yourself or feeding yourself, you know, to everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's, you know, I think it's better, you know, if you're like after 40 or like 45 and going direct, you know, 50.
I agree.
You should kind of. Consider, you know.
I'm in that path.
Have to be like, you know, you don't have to lose all your muscles, but you know, if you drop 20, 30 pounds, you're still going to look great, you know.
Yeah.
But the feeling changes, you know, you feel just light, you just, you know, wake up in the morning, it's just nothing like, or you go to the bed, you know. I used to, it's just so funny, when I was 300 plus pounds, like 310, I went to bed and I was kind of, you know, I couldn't breathe because all the weight was on my chest.
Yeah.
You know, when I was laying on my back, it was
the feeling. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. These are things I don't miss at all.
Yeah. Yeah. So going back to the Olympias, you said you felt like you won a couple times. I want to talk about, there's a period in your career I noticed where you took off like a rocket when you first turned pro. Everybody's like, Dennis Wolf. But there was a period where you went like this a little bit and then you went back up. What happened in that period there? Because I remember there was a period where you were doing great. I don't know if you had coaches. Did you have coaches when you first started?
Yeah.
And then there was a period where you cycled through a couple coaches and then you decided, I don't want to have any coaches. So can you explain kind of what that whole system was like? Like, who was your first coach? Why did you have that dip in your career? And then why did you decide no coaches?
Well, in the beginning, I, you know, when I was working, you know, on my prep for the world championships, I had just, you know, I did everything myself, but had always some people on my side when I, you know, could ask or drive down there and then, you know, let them take a look on my condition, on my physique, you know, and then go from there.
Yeah.
So if you guys told me, oh man, you're behind, 2 weeks later, I was on top, you know.
Yeah, you're ahead. Yeah. Yeah.
I knew what to do. And then I started working with Milos in 2007. The whole year was Milos. So I did well. And 2008, I worked with Chad Nichols.
Yeah.
So at the Olympia, I was a little bit too light, too thin, too skinny.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know, 245 or something like this.
Yeah.
But I was striated. I was, but still, it was not enough to you know, to
yeah
do some damage.
Yeah.
And a year later, still was with the same coach, Chet Nichols, and he put me on stage like overloaded, you know, way too big. Yeah. So, and that where I placed out of top 16 at Olympia. And okay. Then I started working with somebody else, Patrick Tour.
Okay. You know, yeah, I know Patrick, yeah.
Yeah, he fucked me up completely. Really, really. Man.
He's got a good,
Look, I was carb loading for the New York Pro and I was low sugar the whole 2 days. So wow. I was telling him, man, it's not enough. He told me, yeah, on the plan, everything should be all right. But it's not on the plan, you know? I mean, you should look at me. So then, since then, I was so disappointed. And since then, I started doing everything by myself. Okay. And surprised me.
You did better, yeah.
It went really, really good. And also, I didn't carb load anymore. I started depleting myself going to the show. And I looked crazy good. Yeah.
Why did that? Okay, so a couple questions. Mm-hmm. Was anybody helping you after Patrick? Like, did anybody help you take a look at you? Did anybody, like, anybody was helping you as like a second eye?
Oh yes, Dennis James and my wife. Yeah, Dennis James was always in my corner. Like the almost whole bodybuilding career, like as a professional.
Yeah,
I was at Dennis his place like 5-4. 3 weeks out just to get some workouts in, and of course, so he can check on me and tell me, okay, that's good or not. I mean, it's always good to have a friend who you trust, so he can tell you, hey, you look like shit, or hey, man, you look great, so everything is on time, you know?
Yeah, I feel like sometimes some of us, maybe not all of us, I kind of fallen into the place where you are, where me and John Meadows started to work on that level where I would kind of set some stuff up and then he would say, yes, that's good. No, it's not. Or yes, you need to speed up, or you're going too fast, slow down. I feel like sometimes it's almost better just to have that person to give you give you that second eye to go up or go faster or go slower, kind of that kind of thing, instead of having somebody tell you exactly eat this at this time. And you know what I mean?
Because sometimes it's great to have a trainer, but they don't feel, you know, what you feel.
Yeah.
This is like you need to work on it, you know. Just that's what I do with my athletes. I look at them and just follow the progress, you know, and see how they react. And then I tell them, hey, you always need to tell me how you feel, like how you feel after like being 5 days on the lower carb and then going back on 2 day high carbs, and just, you know, tell me. I just need to know, because I can see, but I can feel.
Yeah,
you know, with my body, I felt everything, and I knew, okay, today I need to carb up, or another day to suffer, and then I can carb up.
Yeah,
That's all you need to figure out somehow. Yeah,
I think when you have enough, I think when you've been doing it for long enough, you know when to keep depleting or get that carb load. So what was the biggest change from having coaches to not having coaches? Like, what did you do differently that made you so much better? Because when you came back from when you started doing it on your own, your career really took off again.
Yeah.
You started really like winning all the shows. So what was it that made the major difference? Just, was it a complete change in the system? Like, were you doing more carb loading, carb cycling, or were you doing more fat, or like, what was it that changed so much?
It was more like I said before, feeling everything, you know, when I eat, I feel how my body develops and how it reacts, you know.
Yeah.
And I was just, you know, doing that for a long time, and I knew my metabolism is fast, so I just need to eat, you know. I just need to eat, keep to my meals. Doesn't matter, is it prep or off season, you know. And then, of course, just, you know, prepare how I feel like, you know, just getting in shape. You know, I always said like 10 weeks for my prep. I was done after like 6-7 weeks. I was already in shape. Yeah. And that was also an issue, you know. A trainer will probably not see it, that I'm already like, you know, too ready, you know. And then you need to carb up, you know. And if you do it wrong, you just still keep losing that. So in my case, I just kind of felt that, okay, I need to do like 2 days of like 200 grams and then going down for 2 days, 150 grams, things like this. And I kind of figured out like almost on an hour how it works on myself. Yeah. So, and I think it was a big plus point. So I felt it, everything. And also, like I said before, I started carb depleting going to my show. So before that, carb depleting and then carb loading and, you know, going on stage. And I always lost it on stage, you know, like not that dry anymore. And the reason because I started doing that, because like a lot of friends coming in town, like, you know, before Olympia, and they see you in the gym. And I always was training like on Wednesday when the show was on Friday night. I was training the last day on Wednesday, right? So everyone came in and take a look, and it was like, oh, you're looking great. And 2 days later, I'm not that dry anymore.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, and that's why I figured I need to do something different. I need to change it up. Yeah. So, and that's why, you know, I started with high carb and going to the show just kind of depleted it.
Yeah.
And at the show, I was just not even sweating, nothing at all. And I was able to maintain my condition, maintain my weight. And like Olympia, you know, it's going for 2 days. Yeah. And in the year 2013, I didn't change in 2 days.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Nothing. It was just on point the whole 2 days. And yeah, that was the key for me. You know, I was still looking crazy big, but you know, nobody could tell I was depleted.
What's the highest you place at the Olympia? Third, right?
Yes, sir.
What does it feel like to be third in the world? Is it a happy feeling or is it bittersweet because you're so close?
Both.
Yeah.
No, I was super happy, you know, because I got finally my medal, you know, bronze medal. And when I got this, Jay Cutler told me, no way, man, second. And that lets you feel like worse, you know. I mean, it's great that he sees you, oh, you're second, you know, could beat Kai and so, but you're the same happy, right? So it's kind of, oh, it's weird. You could be better. You could be placing much higher.
Yeah.
But third in the world, man, that was just insane.
Yeah. So what did you focus on the Arnolds after that? How many Arnolds did you win?
One in Ohio, one in Spain. So.
Was your win at the Arnolds, I always wonder this about guys at your level, was a win at the Arnolds greater than third at the Olympia?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is it? What was it?
It's a title. You know, it's a title, a big title.
Yeah.
And every guy who won the Arnold Classic, it was considered as a, you know, number one guy who is going into Olympia.
The contender,
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
No, and that feeling, you know, wow, you don't get it from placing top three or top five at the Olympia. You know?
Yeah. How many times in your career do you think you should have won when you didn't? Because I know there was a lot of close matches between you and Sean Roden, and you know, you guys kind of went back and forth a little bit. So how many times in your career did you take, and not just that him specifically, but how many times do you think in your career you placed second or third and you think you should have won? Is there a lot of those or only a couple that really stand out?
There are a few. I would say like the Arnold in 2011.
Yeah.
No, 12, right?
Was the Arnold Columbus?
Columbus, yeah. When I lost second time to Branch.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. And you thought that was yours?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. No disrespect.
No, of course.
But if you're injured, it's you know.
Unfortunately,
you got injured before that, and you could see it. And then, you know, I was better in shape and everything. And, I felt like it wasn't right. And at that year, I didn't even won the most muscular or whatever, you know, he took everything. So even the best posing award,
that's usually your award, the best posing award.
Yeah. You know, but then they said, you know, it wasn't best posing award, but best presentation award.
Okay.
Like, yeah. It's still the same, you know, for me, you don't think I represent myself better than the other, you know, on stage. I mean, at least with the posing, you know, 90% of bodybuilders cannot pose.
Yeah.
you know, and then, you know, so I was a little bit pissed at that, you know, because I got nothing.
Yeah.
I got nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, what is there that one? That one's obviously the first one that popped to your head, but what is there other ones that are that, that you thought were bad?
Yes. Yeah. You know, I did this, you know, after the show, after Olympia, you do like three more shows, like going to Europe, you know, all top guys did that.
Yeah.
And I won the Arnold in Spain. I won the, was it? Prague Pro.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and the day later, I didn't want the San Marino Pro. Sean Norton won it.
Oh, okay.
You know, so
you beat
I was asking myself, how is it even possible in 12 hours, you know, he beat me. And I was like second. So that, you know, that's like we'll be talking after that. You know, if the judges decide that, that's it. You know, that's why they're judges, right?
Yeah.
But the athletes are always complaining. But I thought, like, if I win all three shows, like, or two shows in a row, and then we just fly over to another country and then just, you know, straight to the show and compete. And wow.
But
that
it's
was a little bit awkward for me.
But it's different judges, though, right? Or is it same judges?
Same judges, yes.
Maybe you held some water in the flight. Who knows? I don't know. But
I don't know, but
yeah,
it was weird.
I wanted to touch on you said something about coaching.
Yes,
so
sir.
So now that you're not bodybuilding anymore, is that your main focus? I feel like some of us try and still live a bodybuilding lifestyle, but in a different way. So is this kind of your way of staying involved?
Yes. Yeah. Totally. Because, you know, I love helping people. I love kind of bringing athletes to another level. You know, sometimes it's just maybe experience what they need. You know, but I love doing this. But you know, I would like to expand it a little bit. I'm not doing so much promo for that. But you know, it's always a little bit work. I'm happy about, you know, how it goes. I have a few athletes, so I got a lot of amateurs and professionals. So I got this weekend, so tomorrow, Jay Cutler Classic, I have an athlete. He's 48. So
yeah.
His first show, he's competing in the novice and masters. And I have a guy, he's competing in Siberia on Sunday.
Okay.
Pretty busy time right now.
So is it something you like enjoy? Like, does it make you feel like you're still in the game? Like, do you kind of work through them a little bit?
Yeah. You know, I have a lot of people who just practice posing with me, and this is, this is just, and if I see, this is just funny. You know, if I see some guys are, you know, talented, you know, like hitting the poses, or I have a guy, he practiced maybe a couple of weeks, and he hits the poses really, really nice. And then he was preparing for a show in summer.
Yeah.
And got already his posing routine. You know, like, I was like, wow, unbelievable.
Yeah.
He could pose like 3 minutes, the whole, you know, song or something, but they only have 1 minute. So you need to cut it down. And this is like a little bit painful because, you know, he's doing that well, you know, like everything works good, you know, looks good. And some guys, of course, you know, you need like hours and hours just to let him hit the double bicep right, you know. So, but I like, you know, to be involved. And if that works out great, I'm more happy than ever.
So is this something you want to do? Is this kind of what you're doing from now on, or do you have other things lined up that you want to do post bodybuilding?
I'm doing that for a couple of years now. Probably want to expand it a little bit, doing a little bit more. Then I do a couple other things. Still working, you know, with some great companies. I have endorsement deals with here, GN.
Yeah.
You know, Genetic Nutrition or Gigas Nutrition, where you can order all the supplements and get the 10% off with my code. So, and I work with Jim 80. I'm about to build the outdoor gym in my backyard. So
oh, great.
I'm going to do some YouTube videos on that because, you know, I'll be back in the gym soon. And that's going to be a good idea to, you know, get my fans something new, you know, doing that in my backyard. Many other things, still sponsored from Chic, others, you know.
So you got a lot going on.
Still not the end. You know, I went to Germany 3 years ago to open a gym, but, you know, it didn't work out. Came back here, tried to open a gym here, but that place was just too expensive for me, and the guy was losing so much money. So I stepped back from that. And now just you're kind of looking, you know, what's going to be the next best thing for me to do? Because look, this pandemic, like over a year, can you imagine how
I know
I had opened the gym like 2 years ago? I'll be, you know,
be tough. Yeah. Be very tough.
I want to vlog by now, probably.
Yeah. I want to ask you about, you mentioned Germany. I wanted to ask you real quick. And normally I do this at the beginning of the show because I like to get a little bit of the background, but what was bodybuilding like in Germany and how did you start? Like, when did you start bodybuilding? How old were you?
I was 20.
Started late.
Yeah.
I mean, I know a lot of people listening think that doesn't sound like late, but most bodybuilders.
End of 1920. Yeah. So.
Yeah. But most people that aren't really, because a lot of people that watch this channel aren't really, really involved in bodybuilding. They don't realize that a lot of bodybuilders start when they're like 14.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I started when I was 20 also. I consider myself starting late. So you grew pretty fast then.
Yes. Honestly, I gained like almost 20 pounds in my first year. And I did nothing, you know. I just and that where I, you know, realized, hey, I probably have potential. More than the guys here in the gym, you know.
I got to ask you this. When you started, I'll tell you myself, when I started strictly for competition because I wasn't bodybuilding. I was just doing cardio and stuff. And I saw a show and a friend asked me, you know, said I should do it. So I decided to start. So when I started bodybuilding, I started taking all the supplements. Like I started taking gear and everything all at the same time. When you put that 20 pounds on, was that all natural or did you start right away?
No. I was all natural until the end. I was like, I can tell you, I mean, I was taking three pills three times a week.
When? What do you mean?
How like when I started, like I would say 4 or 5 months after I started.
Okay. So you started a little while after.
Yeah. So, you know, I gained already like 10 pounds.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I kind of already, oh man, it's all good. And then you see the people over there, they talk to you and all that. And then I said like, yeah, okay, I'll try it. Yeah. And I explored it, you know, I explored it. It's like, what the hell is that? You know, usually you take it every day or like every 8 hours, whatever. I took it three times a week, you know, just a minimal dosage. And I just blew up.
So when you started bodybuilding 20, was it for competition or were you just doing it for fun? Or like, what was the purpose?
I was doing it for fun because I loved how my body grew and then I start seeing muscles, but not just, you know, you know there's people who start bodybuilding or start lifting and they just round or you don't recognize, is it bicep or tricep or is it shoulder, but I had all these cuts already, you know, this separation. And I was like, wow, and everybody's looking at me like, oh, what the hell are you doing, you know, you're competing soon or whatever. And I said, no, I don't even know what you want from me, what competing, where, you know, I had no idea.
Yeah.
I spoke. I mean, I knew Schwarzenegger was, you know, competing and all that, but I had no idea what exactly it is, you know, how to get there.
Yeah.
And then after I was already 20 something, like 20 and a half, a guy came up to me and said, hey, you want to compete? I'm like, what? It's like, hey, I know a guy, like, he lives next in next town, like 20 minute drive. I'll take it to him and then we'll speak to him.
Okay.
And then went there and he saw me and like, damn, man, you're not bad, right? Yeah. So you're going to compete at the juniors. You know, I was 20.
Yeah.
And then I started my prep and the show was, I think, November. So my birthday is October 30th and it was November 2nd or something. So I had to go straight to the Open, you know.
Yeah.
I was
You couldn't do the juniors, yeah.
Oh no. So yeah. And since that, you know, what is the first prep is always like
how did you do it the first one?
The guy was helping me, you know, just that was funny story. He asked me, what do you eat? Do you eat chicken? So yeah, half chicken and stuff, you know, like from a restaurant. It's like what? You know, I wasn't that I didn't have so much protein. I didn't need to, you know, I didn't have to do a lot of protein. I had maybe 200 grams of protein a day.
Really?
And I was going like crazy, you know. Wow. And then he said, hey, everything is good, so just keep doing that. He said, oh, you got to do this. Don't eat that. Just eat rice and chicken and, you know, clean.
How did you place at the very first show you did?
I placed at a novice. I was second.
Okay.
And the super heavyweight. At the time there were no super heavyweights. So it was heavyweight. I was fourth. So I didn't qualify for the German nationals.
Yeah.
Or at the time it was November, so German internationals.
Okay.
Came back a year later.
Okay.
You won't believe that, man. I was 10 kilos heavier.
So 22 pounds.
20 pounds, yes.
Yeah.
22 pounds. And nobody recognized me. You know, like, who the hell is that?
So you're 20.
When I went off stage, you know, the backstage that was full with all these reporters, you know, like who were writing for the magazines and stuff, like, hey, who the hell are you? I mean, what? You don't recognize me? You know, I was here last year. Oh, no way, you know?
Wow.
that was the best moment in my life because, you know, people kind of were shocked what the hell happened to me and, you know.
So what
was point, amazing.
What point was it? Was it that point or was there another point later on where you said to yourself, this is what I want to do. I want to be a bodybuilder. This is how I'm going to make my money.
Yes. As I came back a year later in 2000 and won the overall title, and qualified for the German nationals or internationals, and did fourth, placed fourth at the German championships.
Yeah,
I thought like that could be something for me or what I would love to do, you know, all the time.
Yeah,
and then it was a little bit hard in my life, you know, like a couple of years I didn't do any show, I lost my job, you know, met my wife, and then I decided to go full in. You know,
do you mind me asking what happened? Like, what was the bad? Why was those 2 years so bad?
You know, I think I lost my job.
What job was it?
I was painter. I was working in the same company from the day one as I, you know, came out of school.
Yeah.
I was working there for 7 years and then, I get kicked out. So, and then, of course, it's the same like in bodybuilding. You know, if something goes wrong, you kind of need to readjust and, you know, set everything up and go again.
Yeah.
And that was, like I was very young, you know, just, you know, kind of, as I lost my job, I feel like I don't need to do anything for at least 2 months. And then, you know, after I relaxed, I go all for it, you know?
Yeah.
And, thankfully I met my wife in 2001.
Okay.
In 2002, I did another show. It was not IVB because a friend of mine was competing there. And, you know, if somebody's talking to you, blah, blah, you're like, okay.
So was it a NABBA show or something?
There was a WPF. WPF, that was huge, but not in Germany. It was like in other countries like France. That was huge. And I did that. I did pretty well. Went to France, competed there. I was second. It was a world championship.
Did you know about the IFBB? Did you know that's where you wanted to go, or you didn't know all that yet?
I was competing at the IFBB before all the time. But
no. But the one where you went when you went to WPF, did you know before you went there? Like, that's where I really want to go.
Oh yeah, of course. It was just doing a favor to my friend.
Just a thing,
That's what I did it. And when I came back from that, it was in 2002, And 2 years later, I went again to FBB, you know. And,
to the German Nationals?
Yes. You know, you need to qualify every time. So I won again the overall title, super heavy. Went to the German Nationals and placed second. So that was also like controversial, you know.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
One who was full with Sunto.
Okay.
You could see it through the shirt. I mean, if you see it, people like that, you know, and they kind of still competing and winning the show, you're asking yourself like, what the fuck is going on, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, if you see it clearly, like you should be on stage, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I was pissed, but the next year I came back, won the German championships, overall title. Then I tried to, you know, fight for a pro card.
Yeah.
And the German Federation told me, no.
Why? You
need to go to the world championships. You need to place top five in the world championships.
Like, but I thought if you won the German, you get your card. I thought that was how it works.
Yeah, I mean, all guys before me who won the world the German championship, the German pro, right? They gave it to you.
Yeah.
Even a couple guys who were just at the world championships in the top six and never been German champions. They got the pro card too. But I was like, you know, we changed the rules. I said, okay, we want to change the rules. So okay, I said, you know, I can do nothing, right? So I went to the world championships and won the overall title.
Wow.
Yeah. So, but then like everybody's like, oh, we always knew. But it's always like this, you know what it is, right?
Yeah.
If your play is not good, oh yeah, nobody cares. If you win, oh, we always knew.
We already knew, yeah. That's funny. It must be something in Germany because the same thing happened to Roman. Roman Fritz won his pro card like three times or something like that. Like I'm
not familiar with that, but I know it was kind of changing the rules every year or every 6 months. So
yeah.
I think they just played that card that if you're good, we want to use you at the world championships or
that's
European
right.
championships because nobody wants to go there.
That's right. You know? Yeah. So what was it? So how long after that? So you win the overall at the Worlds and then you got your pro card, obviously. Is that when you decided to move, or how long after that did you decide to move to the U.S.?
Oh, no, I was, I did my show a year later in Texas.
Okay.
Europa show. Then I did Montreal and I did Spain. So it was a whole year. And then I did, of course, my first Olympia, didn't place, you know, in the top 15. The year later, I still was in Germany. But when I signed with BSN, end of. I signed in 2009.
Right? Yeah. No. 2008.
Then, no.
You turned pro in 2006, right?
Yeah. No, I was with Nutrix all the time. I was with Nutrix.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah.
I was with Nutrix for years, and then I signed with BSN. I think end of 2009, and that was the reason I moved to United States.
BSN
wanted me to spend 6 months in the United States at least. You know. Every year because, you know, promotion, in, you know, it was back in the days, like, you know, if they, like, I don't know the whole numbers, but if they ordered like for 200,000, you know, any shop, they send me there. So I was on the road every weekend. So it was fun. I was on the road every weekend when I came to the United States.
But did you like living, like, when did you decide to live here full time though? Like, cause you had to be
right away. Yeah.
Oh, so as soon as you got here, you loved it.
Because for me, it was not making any sense just live 6 months in Germany and 6 months in the United States because the costs and taxes and all that stuff, you know. And we decided, maybe with my wife, just let's move completely to the United States. And, you know, because if we would never done that, we would probably say, we never tried, we don't know. But so we always said, hey, let's try it. It's a new beginning, completely different life, you know, and then a big change in our life, you know, going to United States. I've been in United States like very often since 2002. It was my first time.
Yeah.
But being somewhere for vacation or to compete is not the same as, you know, living a full life, you know, full time here.
So your wife was okay with it? She didn't mind? making the movie?
Not at all. Not at all. Yeah.
Why did you choose Vegas?
We've been to Vegas a few times because of Olympia and all that.
Yeah.
We spent a lot of time after the shows, you know, just a small vacation for a week or so.
Yeah.
And we checked out the area, and we love that.
Yeah.
Because you got everything. You got the mountains, you got the strip, you got the lake, you got everything, and everything is close. You drive like an hour, 2 hours, and you're somewhere else, you know, you're like another state. It's very, very, very close.
Yeah.
Before that, we went to Dennis James, to Phoenix in 2008. The last 2 weeks before Olympia, he invited us. I was there for 2 weeks preparing with him. That was also great.
Yeah.
The plan was to go to Phoenix because Dennis is there, you know.
Sure.
But my wife kind of always was alone when I was traveling.
Yeah.
And, you know, she wanted to be in Vegas. So I was like, okay.
do it for her.
I don't really care, you know.
Yeah.
Because the weather is almost similar, you know, to Vegas with Phoenix. So I didn't care. So I said, like, you choose it because you have to stay at home like 3 days in a week or 4 days in a week when I'm gone, you know?
Yeah.
Your wife's not happy. I mean, you're not going to have it.
So how long, so you've been married? We'll touch on a couple, just one more thing before we go. I just want to ask. So how long have you been married now? You got married, you said, in 2002 or three?
We got married in 2003, yes.
So going on 20 years. So
yeah, but we were together for 20 years since 2001. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So
I married in Philadelphia in 2003. Yeah.
Has she always been 100% supportive of your career?
Oh yes.
Like even from the very beginning.
Yes. Yeah. Even when we met the first weeks, you know, like everything is just great. I mean,
does she train, or is she not really into the scene? But she does. She understands what you do.
Yeah, she understands what I do. She trained before, like with me at the beginning, like a few years. But now, like in the last 3 years, 4 years, she didn't touch any weight. But she does a lot of cardio with me. We're going on a walk.
Yeah.
Like this, yeah. But
what?
You know, she doesn't have to lift weights, you know, to.
No,
to
I know. Yeah.
Something, you know.
Yeah. No, I wasn't implying that at all. My wife, like, I've been with my wife for 14, 15 years now, and she barely ever goes to the gym. It's just not her thing, right? But the reason I ask is she understands what I do. So I never have any problems. I never have any issues. She knows, like, what it takes. So, but it's not her thing. So that's why kind of why I was asking if you had the same dynamic.
As we are filmed for Generation Iron, you know, the first one.
Yeah.
They wanted me or wanted my wife to complain that I'm going to the gym every day, you know. And me and Dennis James at the time is like, what's wrong with you? That's the only woman she's you know, into it, you know. She will never say anything because that's his job, you know. But they wanted to
create drama.
Like, you know, they always wanted to change something up, you know. So yeah. That's
they don't want to make it look good. They want to make drama. Yeah. They want to make it look
always up. Always, you know, people can talk about it, you know. But you know, we were not the right couple for that because she was always behind me and standing behind me all the time, being supportive.
Let me ask you.
She starts complaining that I'm going to the gym.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Yeah. Let me ask you this. So do you think you would have reached the levels you reached without her?
No.
Like, I mean, she probably gave you all the support along the way to be who you were, right?
Yes, this is the support you need, because if I would be probably by myself, that would be a completely different life, you know? And that's why I'm saying it, you know? If your life line up that you can do whatever you want to, you know, in order to achieve your goal or anything like that with your wife, you know, because she is supportive and helps you in everything, you know, every day. And, you know, I don't think I cannot, I don't think I can compare it if it will be without you, what will happen, how I'll be successful or not, you know. I don't think so, because, you know, I receive so much help from her.
Yeah.
Just everything, you know, it's just everything.
Yeah.
This is very important. I mean, you used to everything, right? But if if your wife supports you, like from the beginning and even during like hard times where, I mean, for bodybuilder, it's a hard time if you lose, right? Not win.
Yeah, yeah.
In these times as well, it's very important to have somebody on your side who understands, like you said, that your wife understands everything too, mm-hmm. and also can tell you what she thinks.
Yeah.
Straight and honest. And I'm not going to lie, it's not always fun. It's not always, it's not always great to hear.
I know.
You know. In the beginning, I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, like, yeah, but she's right, you know.
Yeah, so. You know what? I've experienced that so much. Like, just tell me the truth, honey. I just want to know the truth. And then they tell you the truth, and you're like, I don't fucking know what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
yeah. Why are you saying that? Yeah.
So let me ask you before you go one last question, just because, it's for my own personal selfish reasons. When you, I know you said you've retired and you're happy with your retirement and all that. But I do have this one question. When a show comes by, like say like the Olympia just passed, or, you know, you see the Arnold's comes up or something, but we'll use the last Olympia, for example, does Dennis Wolf sit and go, the best Dennis Wolf would have placed here, there, wherever, or do you just watch it, enjoy it and not think about that?
I don't put myself in there because I'm not there anymore. I'm not
okay.
on that stage, you know? I get a lot of messages, you know, from the fans. If you will be competing now, you probably win a couple times.
Yeah.
But I'm not that, you know, because why should I get myself in a painful situation, kind of, you know, for myself. But even if I don't do that, it is painful to watch sometimes.
I was going to ask you that next. Is it?
Very.
Explain that to me.
Painful in first thing, because I can do it, you know, I can do it anymore.
Yeah.
That's painful. And, but even more painful is if I see, a lot of athletes are not in shape, not like maybe as I wanted, as I used to going into the show, you know, kind of being ripped.
Yeah.
And you see that if you're messing up your carb loading process, right?
Yeah.
You just overload it, you know, like the most people, you know.
Yeah.
So you see, you lose the condition, you know, with each pose, or you see that the people being lazy and not bringing it. You know, it's never personally, but for myself, it's like I'm asking myself, but also because I ask myself. I think because I cannot do it by myself. And that's why I think like they can do it. I cannot do it. Why they're lazy. You know, sometimes. Just sometimes. Not all of them. Like
I know.
It's amazing, you know, but you know, it used to be a little bit different. Or maybe I just see it this way because when I was competing, I was going into the show and I couldn't even walk without pain, you know, because like the fat was gone and I felt like every step, you know, like because there was only the bone and the skin.
Yeah. You
know? So, and that means you're like at the lowest level of your fat or body fat.
Yeah.
You know, and probably very, very dangerous level.
Yeah.
But I don't see it on stage. Like, you know, some people are so crazy striated.
Yeah.
You know, like Hardy was great. Bonac is always great. You know, there are some people coming up like Akim. You know, he's bringing that more and more every year. Every show he's competing. Yeah. You know, Rami was great. But it's all because of condition. And, you know, and I just wish that the athletes understand that, not just being full. You're big and full anyways, you know. Just
who's without, okay, well, I don't know if you want to answer this one, so you don't have to if you don't want to, but can you give me an example of somebody that might not have been in shape or that could have been in better shape? Because when I watched the Olympia, I thought to myself, these guys all look pretty good. Like, you know, Phil had a little bit of distension in his stomach. You know, Akeem, even though he looks amazing, I feel like his back still could be a little bit more detailed. Because like it's almost like the skin on his back is a little bit thicker.
Yeah, I think so too. It's really thick skin.
Yeah, but for the most part, I felt like everybody was in pretty good shape. But is there somebody that stands out to you as that needs to be a little sharper?
I'll say most of them, you know, after the top five, you know. So I will not mention anyone by name, but the top five was great. I mean, people in the top five, they're all in great condition.
Yeah.
But like I told you before, most of them, like Phil was, I think, just overloaded.
Sure, sure.
You know, you can see it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's not bad, but the only bad thing is because I expected probably more, a better condition of Phil. That's it. And, you know, when he walked out, he looked great, but when the comparison started, you could see the difference. Yeah. And that he is a little bit not far away, but he's away from being
hit. Yeah. But, you know, then again, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, right? Maybe that time off takes you away from being as good as you were, right?
So I think so. I mean, you know, competing every year, it's not the same like, you know, having 2 years off and then getting back in there. The body is probably not reacting that great anymore, you know, because you know, the body is kind of, you know, it's kind of adapts to everything, you know. Like if you're not doing anything for a year, you know, you get used to it, you know. And then you start training, it feels like, whoa, you know, I'm dying.
Exactly.
So it's probably the same. So but in the competitive bodybuilding, you need to kind of be on. So but I didn't see much of Phil, you know, doing a lot of videos or something like that, even before the Olympia, in his prep, going for Olympia, I didn't see anything. That was a little bit disappointed because, like, millions of people expected him to, you know, to be there and getting the title back. So, but yeah, anyways, I mean, they're all in great condition, but for myself, it's just judging the guys. But for myself, I see it kind of a little bit more is always possible. A little bit more sharpness, you know.
Do you think you're ever going to be able to watch a bodybuilding show without that eye anymore? Or do you think you'll always be like, do you think you'll ever be able to watch it like a fan and just enjoy it? Or do you think you'll always be the competitor watching the show?
I hope one day I can do it, man. You know, because, like I said, it's a little bit painful, but it's never personally. It's just
for myself
because it just, man, look, hey, you just hit the pause a little bit different, you know.
Yeah,
but if I watch my videos, you know, I'm cramping. My abs are cramping because, you know, if I see watch my posing routine, I always squeeze my abs. So you understand, right? So
not
fun, but in some way it's still fun, but it's already, you know, going this direction. So you're kind of, messing with yourself, you know, but just, you cannot enjoy it. So I would love to enjoy it more. Just watch it and I don't give anything about it.
You know? Yeah.
Just enjoy it and, you know, and be happy for everyone. But, you know, all of them are my friends. So it's, It's even hard to, kind of predict, you know, who is gonna win, because I know it's not personal, but every athlete it's still taking it a little bit personal.
Of course, yeah.
You know how it is. It's still is.
It's so personal.
Yeah.
It's personal. Well, somebody's talking about how you look. It can't not be personal. It's a little bit personal. So
But anyway. You know, I was never like pissed, like if somebody said, oh, you could be better in shape, or you're not being that full, you know, as a coach. But it's just, you have to hear the opinion. Or, you know, but if you don't care, you don't listen to anyone. So
I think it's also how I think it's also how it's said too, right?
Yeah.
Some people can say it and you can absorb it and go get better.
Yeah.
And some people say it in a way that just, it's off-putting. It just makes you feel shitty. Yeah. So I think it depends.
That's why I'm trying to kind of say it.
I don't think anybody feels that way
about you.
I don't think anybody feels that way about you, Dennis.
I don't think so.
It's also the nature of the person. Like if it's a good person saying it, the person knows they can receive it, right? But it's some people are shitty.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean. Yeah.
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 So exactly. Anyway,
that sometimes even when people have no idea and telling you that, but you know that the guys are stupid. You know, they have no experience, nothing. But still, it still bothers you, like, you know,
yeah.
Like, what the hell? You know, you start like it starts getting in your head. It's like, oh my god, yeah.
You think? I'm sorry. I want to let you go. I just one more question popped up. You started bodybuilding before social media and kept bodybuilding into social media. How much did social media affect you? Did it affect you or did you not care? Like, how much was it involved in your psyche every day?
Back in the days, when I was competing, I didn't care at all. You know,
but there was no social media until probably like, I don't know, Facebook, Instagram is 2008, 9, 10. So like before Facebook and Instagram, were you happier about bodybuilding or was it better afterwards when everybody could give you their opinion?
I'll say it's more to see, you know, you can get more information. You see more from the athletes, how they look like, you know. But before the social media and all that, it was kind of guessing and hoping they, you know, not, you know, having a great diet or something like this, you know, and because you don't see them, you don't get anything from them, you don't hear anything.
Oh, you mean guessing? Guessing the other competitors?
Yeah, you only see them at the show.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So and yeah, that's the only thing. But in overall, I think social media helps.
Did you like guessing about what they were going to look like?
Yes.
Okay.
Because
made it more exciting.
Yes, exciting. And for yourself, you know they're working hard. So you work hard. But on social media, if you see someone like, oh shit, you know, you start kind of, you know, worrying about it. So sometimes it's not good.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know, because you know, you don't see yourself the same way the other people see you. You know, I was
definitely
never kind of happy about me, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, if the pump was good and you're already in condition, like weighing already 280 pounds, you know, like 4 weeks out, you always feel great at that moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, but people looking at you, they're kind of like, what the hell is going on? You know, this guy's crazy, you know.
Yeah.
But you don't see that. So
I love that you said that. I love that you said that because so many people think that we just walk around like, and we feel amazing all the time and we're great. And the more bodybuilders I have on the podcast, the more bodybuilders tell me they never feel great. They never feel like they look great. They don't like looking at their photos. Like, it's very, very few. And I'm the same way. Like in 20 years of bodybuilding, there's very few photos I actually love, like to look at. I think, oh, I look good there.
Yeah.
All the rest, I'm like, I look like shit.
Yeah, you take like 100 pictures and two of them. Yeah, that's fine, you know, can post that.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah.
And I don't think that everybody will, you know, who win any like great title feel like that, you know, that he's like, oh, I'm better than everyone. No, you always feel like, you know, kind of small, you know, not good enough as you should probably or can be. Yeah. I think that stays with you like the whole career.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that
how good you are.
That's probably why it keeps you hungry, though. That's probably why the guys that feel like they're great, that's those are the guys that probably don't make it because they feel like they've already achieved everything.
Yeah, it's the same with when I was winning like shows in a row, there were no time to celebrate, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I think if I will celebrate it, I will not be there where I was.
That's right.
Because, you know, it's just keeps you focused, you know, okay, I won. Oh, great. Blah, blah, blah. Nice. Oh, you're happy. And then the next day it goes the same way again.
Yeah. In the same way, no matter how well I did, I only won a couple shows, but even the shows I did well at, I would celebrate Saturday night with my family after the show. The Sunday I might rest. And then Monday I'm back in the gym.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. How do we get better?
It's true.
Dennis, listen, I appreciate you taking the time, man. Thank you so much. I kept you longer than I expected, but I enjoyed talking to you. So thank you so much for coming on, man.
Thank you for having me. And I enjoyed it very, very much.
Yeah,
and,
maybe we'll do it again.
Yeah, why not? Why not? I wish you a lot of success with your podcast. As I see you doing well, and very funny guests, and very, very informative. I get a lot of information, yeah. You know, but I didn't know about a couple of guys. You know,
thank you very much, Dennis. I appreciate that, man.
All right, Fuad, keep it up,
brother. We'll talk soon.
All right, take care.
Okay, bye bye.